Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, you're about to get smarter in just a few minutes with Curiosity Daily from Discovery. Time flies when you're learning super cool stuff. I'm Nate.
And I'm Callie. If you're dropping in for the first time, welcome to Curiosity, where we aim to blow your mind by helping you to grow your mind. If you're a loyal listener, welcome back.
Today, you'll learn about mind-reading machines, the brightest object in the known universe, and the potential power punch of cinnamon.
Without further ado, let's satisfy some curiosity. Of all the wild new technological advances making headlines these days, some of the most incredible, hard-to-believe, straight-out-of-sci-fi have to do with BCIs, or brain-computer interfaces.
Oh boy, yeah. With AI and large language models and neural networks making such huge leaps, the massively complicated piles of data scientists gather from our brains is starting to actually make sense.
And we've talked a lot about these brain-computer interfaces on past shows. Scientists have implanted sensors on the surface of the brain, and the results have been amazing. One patient, for example, who was paralyzed from a spinal injury, was able to open and close a prosthetic hand and control a robotic arm.
Oh, right. The interface basically read his mind. It assessed his motor impulses and put them into action in the prosthetic arm.
Exactly. And another patient with ALS, a motor neuron disease that left him unable to speak, was fitted with a brain-computer interface that could understand his thoughts and turn them into speech. And he's not the only one. There are actually a lot of stories like this.
Wow. Okay, so what's next?
Well, that's a great question. It's actually not what you might think. Scientists are realizing something. These interfaces aren't just giving patients a new lease on life. They're feeding vast and invaluable data about the brain to researchers. And this data is pulling back the curtain on centuries-old mysteries about the function of our brain.
Wow. Okay. I didn't even think about that. Like, you imagine these brain-computer interfaces mostly just acting on signals they read in the brain. But if you think about it, they're actually just like mini laboratories sitting right on the surface of our gray matter.
Yeah, exactly. And those little laboratories are forcing brain researchers to rethink just about everything. So this starts to get kind of crazy. One type of sensor is called the neuropixels array. It consists of silicon electrodes, each one thinner than a human hair, and each one able to hold nearly 1,000 sensors. It's so sensitive, it can detect electrical signals from a single neuron.
So what kind of information do you get from a single neuron?
Okay, it actually turns out a lot. One of the first things researchers realized is that the brain isn't organized the way we thought it was.
Wait, so, I mean, like, we kind of think about how, you know, speech is controlled by one part of the brain. And, you know, say, if you want to grab a cup of coffee, that motion is controlled by a different part of the brain.
Exactly. And that's the traditional understanding, that our brain is divided into regions that are each responsible for their own thing. But these interfaces are showing that it's a lot fuzzier than that. So, for example, neurons in an area of the premotor cortex thought to be responsible solely for hand movements actually contain neural codes for all four limbs.
Okay, so I guess in a way we've been oversimplifying the function of the brain. It's kind of soothing to imagine a single part corresponds to a single action, but it's really not just that simple.
That's kind of the big takeaway, yeah. And it makes a lot of logical sense. I mean, imagine grabbing that cup of coffee you mentioned earlier. It seems like if you just want to clutch a cup, then there would be an area of your brain that fires up to let you do it. But in order to reach out to it, you have to first be aware of the cup and understand its location in relation to your body. Then you have to rebalance your weight to move your arm, and it goes on and on.
Right. Okay. So there's no single simple action taken by humans. So it would follow that the different regions of our mind have to, you know, really coordinate very deeply.
Yeah, exactly. And even though there aren't all that many brain-computer interfaces in use, the fact that they can not only gather data, but gather it for months or even years, means that we could be on the verge of some pretty monumental brain discoveries.
Astronomers peering deep into the cosmos have glimpsed what they say is the brightest known object in the entire universe, and its size is mind-blowing.
Okay, so I want to hear about this size. But it does beg the question, if it's so bright, why are they just now seeing it?
Well, I had the same thought. The researchers behind this said that it has kind of been hiding in plain sight all this time. But also, in case you hadn't noticed, the universe itself is awfully big. So despite its size, astronomers had to aim their telescopes in the right place.
Sure. Okay. So what is it? Is it a star?
It is a quasar, which are some of the most fascinating and brightest objects around. A typical quasar can be 27 trillion times brighter than our own sun.
That's a typical quasar?
Yeah. If you had one lying around and you put it roughly at the distance Pluto sits from us, all of our oceans would vaporize in a fraction of a second.
Huh. All right. So what is a quasar exactly?
Well, they're essentially supermassive black holes at the center of galaxies, feasting on gas at such a rate that they emit enormous amounts of radiation across the electromagnetic spectrum. And the one they've just discovered is basically mind-boggling. Said typical was like 27 trillion times. This is 500 trillion times brighter than our sun.
Yeah, see, that's a number that doesn't actually even make sense in my own mind.
That's fair. Now, this is powered by the fastest growing black hole we've ever discovered, with a mass about 17 billion times bigger than the sun. In fact, it gobbles up the equivalent of one sun just every single day.
All right, so this feels like a dumb question, but if all that matter and energy is going into a black hole, then what are we seeing? I mean, doesn't all the light get sucked up and trapped in there?
Right. Well, so think of this quasar like a massive magnetic storm. As the material gets dragged into it, it spirals around what's called an accretion disk. All that heat and light ripples violently across the universe. In this case, it takes about 12 billion years to ripple its way to us.
That's really bright. Okay, how big is it?
It's huge. Like, if you put it directly between us and Alpha Centauri, the nearest star, the accretion disk would eat both of us up, and then some, by a lot.
So we could just zip out past Alpha Centauri, and we still wouldn't have gone as far as this quasar is across.
It is so big and bright that the astronomers who discovered it don't think we will ever find anything bigger.
Oh, but see, that just sounds like a challenge for future astronomers.
I hope that they take it that way.
I want to know, what are we going to call something bigger than quasar? Let's call it Steve.
Bigger quasar?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There could be good news for everyone who loves cinnamon as much as I do. A new study has found that taking a cinnamon supplement could reduce blood glucose spikes, especially in folks who are obese or pre-diabetic.
I do love cinnamon. Haven't there been studies on its health benefits in the past?
Well, okay, yeah, but there's a caveat. Past studies on its impact on blood glucose levels have been a bit all over the place. So the research team saw an opportunity to conduct a well-controlled, rigorous study to really get to the bottom of its potential benefits.
Okay, so I'm guessing this one is, one of those randomized, controlled, double-blind kind of studies?
Ah, yes, the gold standard of scientific studies. So participants were given 4 grams of cinnamon supplements daily for 4 weeks, and their glucose levels were monitored continuously.
Okay, how much is 4 grams of cinnamon? Like, is that an amount you could put in your oatmeal in the morning?
Maybe. 4 grams of cinnamon powder comes out to roughly a teaspoon and a half, so it's totally possible to consume that much in a day. And it could be worthwhile because the study found that the supplement led to a significant reduction in average 24-hour glucose concentrations and mean glucose peaks when compared to a placebo.
Okay, what does that mean exactly?
Good question. So glucose is basically sugar, right? And it plays a crucial role in our health and even affects our behavior.
Sure. Like if you haven't eaten in a while, you might have a drop in blood sugar and feel tired, something like that.
Exactly. And high blood sugar or hyperglycemia can cause all kinds of trouble. It's everything from like increased thirst, frequent urination, fatigue. It can even make your vision kind of blurry. So people with prediabetes have trouble controlling their blood glucose levels. They aren't quite diabetic, but they're sort of in this gray area.
So the cinnamon supplement helped control those glucose levels.
That's right. They found that cinnamon could potentially help people with obesity-related prediabetes improve their body's control over glucose. And while that proves something that researchers have suspected for a long time, the bigger story here is that there is a growing body of evidence that dietary supplements like cinnamon might be a very real and natural part of a treatment plan.
Okay. I mean, that all sounds great. Are there any caveats?
It's funny you should ask, because yes, there are. We don't give out medical advice on this show, so if our listeners are curious about the benefits of cinnamon for them, they should 100% talk to a doctor before adding it to like a vitamin routine. There are two different groups of cinnamon. There's Ceylon and there's Cassia, with Cassia being more common and inexpensive version, so a lot of the research when it comes to cinnamon is only looking at the Cassia variety. There's more research needed, but there's already some out there suggesting that Cassia cinnamon has high amounts of a substance called coumarin that can be toxic to your liver. Ceylon cinnamon contains way lower levels of coumarin.
So the message is, talk to your doctor and be sure you know which type of cinnamon you're taking.
Exactly. The next step in the research is, of course, to explore the mechanisms behind cinnamon's effects on blood glucose so that researchers can fully understand what's going on here. That could hopefully lead to a better understanding of its long-term effects and, obviously, its safety.
Let's recap what we learned today to wrap up.
Brain-computer interfaces are revolutionizing our understanding of the brain, revealing its intricate organization and challenging long-held beliefs about its structure and function, all while offering groundbreaking ways for people with paralysis to control prosthetic limbs, communicate, and interact with the world around them.
Australian scientists have discovered the brightest object in the universe, a quasar 500 trillion times more luminous than the sun, powered by the fastest growing black hole that devours a sun-sized mass daily.
A groundbreaking study reveals that just 4 grams of cinnamon daily could significantly lower blood glucose levels in individuals with obesity and prediabetes.
Curiosity Daily is produced by Wheelhouse DNA for Discovery. You can find our show wherever you get your podcasts, and we'd love if you could leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
Our Discovery executive producer is Dominique Vu. Our Wheelhouse DNA executive producer is Cassie Berman. This show is hosted by Callie Gate and Nate Bonham.
Our producer is Kiara Noni, and our associate producer is Kimaya Floyd. Writing is done by Sam Osterhout.
Sound design, audio engineering, and editing by Nick Karasimi.
I'm Nate Bonham.
And I'm Callie Gade. We'll see you next week.